Would you like to? You can head to that bookshelf over there and grab one. Just a reminder, you bring your personal Bible. Anybody bringing their personal Bible with them today?
Yes.
All right. Good. We're going to pick up in chapter 4. Just curious, before we get started, or as we get started, do you ever think that sometimes following God is just way too complicated? Has that ever crossed your mind? Yeah, it's just, I don't know, if it's kind of out of reach. He thinks so too. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to explore that today. John has some interesting things to tell us about that. Let's take a look, though. Actually, we did verse 13 last time. I'm going to kind of bring it in again and start off with that today. 1 John 4, verse 13. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen, now John is speaking from personal experience here. Furthermore, we have seen him with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And then all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God and God lives in them. So what John is saying, there's kind of like this double testimony. He says, you know, we have seen Jesus with our own eyes and we believe in him because of what we have seen. But we also have this testimony of the Spirit of God in us that says he's the real deal. He's exactly who he said he was. So there's kind of this double testimony that forms a foundation for the faith of John and the other disciples, the early believers. And they're saying that is a solid foundation for us. We have these two forms of testimony that let us know what we believe in is the real thing. Now, we're in a little different situation. We do not have Jesus standing in front of us. We do not have Jesus as our small group leader. Some of you think you do, but you don't. No, just kidding. Some of our small group leaders are pretty good, but I don't think they're Jesus. Anyway, we have the Holy Spirit. That is the present day testimony of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit comes to testify and assure us that this Jesus we're reading about in Scripture is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, last week, you might remember, those of you that were here, we talked about the fact that the love of God is to come to what? Full expression in each one of us. Amen? We talked about that last week. Now, we said that's kind of God with skin on. All right? As we demonstrate the love of God, as we give ourselves completely to God, we make God visible in this present day. Now, I want to come back to that for a moment because that is significant. We don't have Jesus, we don't have God right in front of us saying, here I am, this is who I am, this is what I'm up to. But when we, who are sometimes not the easiest people to be around, when we let the full expression of God's love become visible in us, now people have a chance to see God. They have a chance to see Jesus. The same kind of double testimony that John was talking about. We need to be able to move in that kind of direction. When people see us, hurting people, broken people, imperfect people, when they see that we give ourselves completely to God, we actually invite the power of the Holy Spirit to be activated in our lives, and when we can love like Jesus loves, that makes Jesus much more interesting to people. It piques interest. It goes, wow. You know, there's something here. I know this person. I know what they were like, right? And now I see the change. I see this love that I can't explain coming to a full expression in this person's life. This has got to be real. There's got to be something going on here. There has to be something to this. That is how the Holy Spirit then is able to speak into that person's life and say, yes, there is. You want to check this thing out. It's not just some odd curiosity. This is real stuff. All right, verse 17. Let's move on. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because, why? Because we live like Jesus here in this world. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I thought, wait a second. Our love grows more perfect. That's a little bit odd, isn't it? Does that strike you as odd? If something's perfect, how does it get more perfect? Does that make sense? It doesn't, does it? So what's the issue? The issue here is the word. It's originally written in Greek, translated to English. Actually, what it means is more complete. In other words, again, hurting broken people, changed by our relationship with Jesus Christ, we become more loving. It's a process, right? I'm a lot more loving today than I was 20 years ago. I am. The love of God is becoming more complete in me. So it's a process of spiritual growth. As I surrender more of myself to the Holy Spirit is then free to work more deeply in my life, and then that's how I become able to love more completely. And what John is doing is connecting that to what? Our place in eternity, isn't he? He's saying, look, when you face God for your final judgment, if you have allowed the love of God to become more complete in you, what? You don't need to be afraid. You can go with confidence into that situation. And he spoke of that same issue of having confidence also back in 1 John 3, verse 21. I just want to ask you this morning, do you know that you can have confidence in your status in eternity? There's a lot of confusion about this. There really is out there in the world. I've talked to all kinds of people. Some folks think that it is arrogant of any human being to think that they can have certainty about their eternity with God. They say, how dare you think that this is up to you? This is up to God. It's not up to you. You just have to kind of live a good life and hope that God chooses you to spend eternity with him. Some folks have told me, you kind of have to wait until, you know, that whole thing about Peter and the pearly gates and all that, because here's what happens. After you have passed away, then God takes all the good stuff you've done and takes all the bad stuff, and he kind of puts it on these scales, all right? And if the good outweighs the bad, then you got a good chance of getting in. That's how a lot of people see it. All right? Very common, even in the church, people think these kind of things. John wants us to know there's something different than that. All right? He's saying, look, I was an eyewitness of this person, Jesus. I placed my trust in him by faith, and I've received the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to tell you today, I am expecting to spend eternity with that man, Jesus, and God the Father, God the Holy Spirit as well. We can do that. So we have that relationship, that transforming love, becoming more complete, more perfect, more complete in our love. Okay, on your outline, am I living the life that Jesus would live if he were me? If that is true of my life, if I'm living my life the way Jesus would live it if he were me, if that's true for you, you do not need to worry. You are going to spend eternity with Jesus. Amen? If that is your confession until the day you die, you have 100% certainty. I grew up in a tradition that said, once you're saved, it doesn't really matter what you do because you're always going to be saved. Anybody ever hear that before? Mm-hmm. Some of you have. Sure, sure. That's been around. In my opinion, that's not true. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, you have certainty as long as you don't give the gift back of your salvation, because that's the only thing that will null and void the gift of salvation, is if you give it back. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people who said, you know, I did believe this. In fact, I got friended the other day by somebody who was a youth leader. And now on his Facebook, his religion, Satanism. People walk away from their faith. People say that gift, nah, I don't want it. I don't want it. So if that's not you and you're saying, yes, I want to spend my life now, I want to spend eternity with Jesus, I'm going to give myself completely to Him, fill me, Holy Spirit, you're in good shape. All right? All right. Now, verse 18, such love, and that's what we're talking about here, has no fear because perfect love or complete love expels all fear. We don't have to be afraid. But, he says, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows we have not fully experienced His perfect or complete love. In other words, something's wrong, all right? Something's out of whack. In other words, we have no need to fear our place or status in eternity if we have that complete and perfect love. During this latest kind of scare, people thinking that the rapture was going to be happening, there were some folks that were scared. There were folks that were going, I'm not so sure. And if you catch yourself feeling afraid or even thinking about death, we've just, you know, talked about Lou and Archie. You know, if facing death is something, and I don't mean you're not looking forward to it. I'm not either, because I don't want to be separated from some folks that I love. But it's a different thing to be afraid of that and say, I'm not so sure that I'm ready for that. If that's kind of where you're at, that's saying I need to get some things fixed between God and I. Now, verse 19. I mentioned this morning, John really kind of keeps it real for us, doesn't he? Verse 19, we love each other. Why? Because He loved us first. All right. So this more perfect, more complete love that we're trying to live out, it comes from God. If someone says, verse 20, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. If we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. We've talked about this. He has mentioned this, references several times in the letter, and it's kind of like this loop, right? There's just loop. See, God loved us first, and then out of that, we love God, and because we now love God, we also love others in the family. And there's just this ongoing loop. In fact, he'll reference it again later. But that is just how he keeps pulling this all together. 1 John 5, beginning at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Again, same thing. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Again, reinforcing the same thought. Loving God means keeping His commandments. And now he adds a new little twist. And His commandments are not burdensome. Okay? His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, John is saying, look, God's expectations of those who want to be His followers is that it's doable. It's doable. You can. You can love God like this. You can love the Christian brothers and sisters. You can have a love for yourself. All those things can happen. Remember way back in chapter 2, verse 1, John says, I'm writing, dear children, so that you will not sin. Remember how we talked about that and said, wait a second. What sense does it make for John to say that if it's not possible for us to say no to sin? All right. And what we ended up saying back then was we have the power to say no to sin. God gives us that power. So now the same thing. Why would John say that we can keep these commandments if we can't? We can. We can. All right. Again, that is the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to say no to sin, to say yes to God, to yes to His commands. And now not only does he say, yeah, it's possible to say no to sin, it's possible to obey God. He's saying, His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, they don't make our life harder. Okay? God isn't interested in trying to make your life more complicated. He's not trying to rain on your parade, not trying to be a party pooper, none of that kind of stuff. That's not where God's coming from, all right? In fact, our lives get more complicated and hard when we ignore God's will. That should be on your outline. Okay? When all we really want to do is kind of run our own life and pick and choose what we want to obey and not obey, when that's really kind of our agenda, that's when we come up with all these reasons about how hard it is to follow God and how difficult His will is, and I just don't understand this. And, you know, we have all these reasons to kind of really end up doing our own thing. That's what it all comes down to. Here's what God says through Moses to the Israelites about this whole thing. Deuteronomy 30, jumping back to the Old Testament for just a moment, beginning at verse 11. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so he can hear it and obey it? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. In other words, it's not as complicated and difficult as we want to make it out to be. It just isn't. You know, we just have to be real with ourselves. Do I want to follow or not? That's the issue. The issue isn't, can I? The issue is, will I? Amen. Amen. Picking up at verse 19, he says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. And there's this next verse, verse 20, it's almost like John is writing this. This is kind of what made me think about it. He says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. Does that sound like John? It does, doesn't it? Same message. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Here's the thing. When we are living in darkness, I mean, I know this was true for me. I got a whole lot more focus on what I would have to give up than what I would gain if I were to give my life over to Jesus Christ. Anybody remember that? Those days? Yeah. I would have to give up this. You know, sometimes the list can get really long, or it can be a short list, but the things that are on the list are big. You know, I'm not sure I want to give this up. That is, I believe, a spiritual tactic of the enemy that is opposed to the work of God. Keep you focused on the things you're going to give up, and you're not sure you're ready for that. That's it. The truth is, God's expectations are freeing and liberating. God's expectations, God's commands, God's will, those things are freeing and liberating. He's showing us a way to live that's good for us. Okay, actually, we can complicate it when we try to do our own thing. When God fills us with His Holy Spirit, His intention is that you will reach the full potential of His design for your life. The things that He has poured into you. Part of those things were poured in through the process of conception and birth. The temperament that you have, that you were born with, some of the abilities and skills that you were born with have been invested in you by God. His plan is to see those things come to their fullest expression, to have you reach your greatest capacities and capabilities. That is part of God's plan. What's wrong with that? Who doesn't want to live in that sweet spot for as long as possible? See, I didn't realize what I was missing until I got there. And it's real easy when you're on the other side of that to think about what you're giving up. Yeah. Jesus has a whole lot more invested in us. I want to encourage you to take some time, not right now, to go back to Deuteronomy. Take a look at chapter 28, 29, 30. Whole section, Moses, as God has spoken to him, is telling the people of Israel about this choice between life and death. life includes blessings, and there are many. Read it, take a look at those. Amazing, amazing blessings. If you choose death, those are the curses. You'll read about that too. All right. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. Following Jesus is not easy. I said it's not complicated. Okay, it isn't complicated. It's simple. You give your life to him, he calls the shots. Pretty simple, right? That doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's easy. So I just want to make sure I clarify that. All right. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Coming back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our what?
Faith.
Right. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we have got to be real with ourselves, with God, about this relationship, right? We're not playing here. This is real. It's honest. It's genuine. If that is the case, we participate in this victory of God over evil, and we do it through our faith. How does that work? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, without empirical scientific proof, we believe by faith that God exists, that he created this world. We don't know how all that happened. We believe in the who, not so much the how. I know there are people who take exception with that, but I'm the one speaking, so that's how I'm saying it. God wants us to be focused on him. All right? And we do that without him standing in front of us. We believe he exists. We believe he created us out of love, created this universe. And we believe that he's given us the power to say no to sin. He's invited us in this relationship. He invites us into eternity. We don't have to understand all of that. Okay? I don't have to have indisputable proof of that. I believe it by faith. I believe what the Bible says. I believe what 2,000 years of Christian history has experienced. Okay? Again, that testimony of the Holy Spirit, the witnesses that are there for us. That's what we have to go on. If you're waiting for some kind of visible proof for God to somehow audibly speak to you or some kind of miraculous event to occur in your life, all you're doing is playing games. You're not being honest. You're not being real. You're trying to put God in a box and say, I'll believe you when you do this. You know what? That's not how God works. God says, you know what? I'm God. You're not. Hate to break it to you. Yeah. See, we grow up in this world thinking we're God. We call the shots. It's up to us. Not the case. New Testament writer in Hebrews goes on in 11 verse 6 and says, and without faith, okay, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. On your outline, God sees our hearts and knows those who come to him with or without faith. He knows that. He can read us like a book. Okay, he wrote the owner's manual on us. All right, so he knows. So the proof that we do have about Jesus, John says, is found in two key events in Jesus' life. Beginning again, 1 John 5, verse 6, and Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And, he says, and the Spirit who is truth. What have we been saying this whole series? The Holy Spirit is the truth teacher, right? There it is again. The Holy Spirit confirms this testimony. So we have three witnesses, John writes, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. All three agree. So there's our proof. There's our proof. God spoke. Why are you talking about the baptism? Because it was at the baptism, some of you might remember the story, that there was this voice from heaven that says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Right? That was the first testimony. Miraculous signs and wonders that happened at the time of the crucifixion And then what we have 3 days later, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Then 40 some days later, we have what? Pentecost, the power, the person, the release of the Holy Spirit. All three as a testimony that is the foundation of our faith. Right there. Make sense? Makes sense. All right, let's keep moving. Beginning at verse 9, basically John is saying, what more do you need? What more do you need? All right, verse 9, since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. In other words, John is saying, look, don't just take my word for it. Don't just take what I'm saying. Also listen to the voice of God. All right? And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. Here's what it is. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And again, those words are incredibly politically incorrect in our day. This is the kind of thing that will get you persecuted and killed in some countries. You don't dare say Jesus is the only way to eternal life. But that's what John is telling us right here. He's saying, look, if you want life now, and if you want life for eternity, it happens only one way, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sticking with Jesus. That is the title of our series, Sticking with Jesus. What John has said again today is, look, we have our own personal testimony. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit who is in us and affirms these things as true. We have the scriptures. We have now 2,000 years of Christian history. We are not going to be the ones that call God a liar. All right, we're going to say, yes, we believe the person you sent and revealed to us as the Son of God, the Messiah, we believe it. In fact, by faith, okay, we don't have indisputable proof, but we believe it by faith, and we are saying, God, we want that life now and life for eternity. And that's what it, and I have the last blank there. What does it mean to have life? Well, it means, first of all, a relationship with Jesus, right? But it also means we have a life of hope and purpose now. That's important, okay? All this talk about a life, sometimes folks get kind of, well, we kind of have to do life here before we can really get to the real life in eternity. When we get to spend eternity with Jesus, that's when we really start to live. No. No. Again, how God has made us, how he's created us, he wants to see that come to its full expression now. That's why he calls us into a relationship with him. Empowers us with the Holy Spirit so we can say no to sin, say yes to God. And when we say no to sin and say yes to God, the full expression of his love can come, become visible in us. Amen? That is what he's looking for now. We can do that now. Do you believe that? Amen. If you believe that, say, I can do that now. Amen. Amen. Right now. Not next week. No. I can do that now. I can do it next week too. But don't have to wait to start, right? Don't have to wait to start. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together, Heavenly Father, as we realize the extent of your love for us. And again, even before we were even close to being lovable, washed up, cleaned up, you did that. You did that when you washed over us with your love, the blood of Jesus. And Lord, in these moments, we want to give ourselves to you again today. Thank you that you have called us into a relationship with you. You have filled us with your Holy Spirit and made the victory over evil possible. Thank you, Lord, for revealing in us what it's like to be complete and fully human. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for giving us a life of hope and purpose now. We don't have to wait for that. We can have that now, today. Lord, help us to live out that in its fullness. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing, amazing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's stand. Let's sing together our closing song. Oh, and communication cards. If you start passing those towards the middle, we'll pick them up.
My Savior, My God is our theme song for our current series. And so as we sing this song, just continue again every week just to take a look at the words and apply them to your own life. My Savior, My God.
To understand what God has willed, what God has planned, I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. So once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God, He's always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, my solace from this dream, that He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior.
Die, David?
Nope,
there we are. Okay, sorry about that. I guess I pushed that a little too hard a while ago. Got excited singing that song. All right, do we have all the cards? Everybody's card? A few right up here. Anyone else? Communication cards? Make sure we have those. And again, if anyone would be interested in attending the VFW Memorial for Archie today, please see Barbara for instructions. Please receive this blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. We'll see you next week. Now I can turn it.